Good morning. How are y'all doing? Welcome. If this is your first time, we're thrilled to have you. For everyone, it is great to be together. And yes, we are in the season of love. For some of you, you're like, yeah, we are. Playoffs, Super Bowl. If that's what you thought, I feel bad for whoever's on the other end of your love. No, Valentine's Day is next week. And just a side note, that is going to be the last day for the early bird price of vertical marriage, Ann Arbor, which is coming March 11th and 12th. You'll hear more on that later. So just a little plug. But we are in the season of love with Valentine's around the corner. And we started this series last week. We said that romantic love is merely an echo of a bigger and a deeper love that's available to each and every one of us through Jesus Christ. And in an effort to understand this love more fully, we've been walking through the book of 1 John. We're going to do that over the course of 5 weeks. There's five chapters, so one each week. And last week we saw that John invited us to step out of the darkness that we live in and to trade it for the light that's in God. He went so far as to say that God is light and there is no darkness in him at all. And when I think of light, I often think of this, a light bulb, which is actually pretty relevant this week because Thursday is February 11th. And it's the birthday of Thomas Edison, who played a little role in this, correct? Many people think he invented this. He didn't. Thomas Edison invented was a long-lasting light. Because light bulbs had existed already, but they only lasted a couple minutes, so they weren't very practical for people to own. What Thomas Edison did is he pushed for a filament, the little tiny part that gets electrified and burns. He was trying to find a filament that would last longer. And he worked and worked at it until he found one that lasted 13 minutes. And then he pushed it out to 13 hours. And then after 1,000 attempts, he got this thing to burn for 40 hours. Over 1,000 tries. And from there, Edison and his assistants tested more than 6,000 plant materials in search of a new filament before they landed on bamboo. Bamboo imported from Japan, cut at just the right size and thickness, and then they would put it through a process where they carbonize it, and it would incandesce and burn for 1,200 hours. And all of a sudden, this became valuable. Many considered him to be a genius, and to this he often responded by saying, "Genius is 1% inspiration and 99% perspiration." Meaning, genius takes sweat. It takes effort. It takes hard work and energy. And it's about having, not just about having a great idea, it's about taking the steps necessary. In regards to the light bulb, that was thousands of steps. That's perseverance, stick-to-itiveness. So many things that could have derailed Edison in his pursuit of light, but he fought for what he knew it could be. And humanity, our human condition is not too dissimilar from that light bulb. Because Edison searched for a filament. And yet humanity, we all search for fulfillment. We were created in the image of God, both male and female. We were created with the capacity to reflect the very character of God. To live in his light and reveal his light to those around us. In fact, the Apostle John was getting at this in his first chapter. Like Edison, who found a long-lasting filament for light bulb, John was declaring that we have found a long-lasting fulfillment of life, the one that can truly sustain and let us shine forever. Because we try to fill our lives with so many things, happiness, peace, joy, love, and John is saying, we found it. We have found what true love really is. And it's that inspiration and excitement of what he found that rolls from chapter 1 into chapter 2 and what we're going to look at today. Specifically, he's going to reveal four things that do not work in the pursuit of God's love. Things that can distract us and take us away. That literally work against us. But to each of these, John also reveals what does work. And whether you're just beginning to question what Christianity is or this whole faith thing, or you're a new believer, or you've been following Christ for a long time, I believe John's words have something for each and every one of us today. So before we jump in, let me pray. Lord, I thank you for the Apostle John, the one who is described as the one that you loved, Lord, because he reflects so much of your love. Lord, he declares in chapter 1 of his letter here that he has found this one, Lord. He knows what the love is, and he's trying to point us to you. Lord, I pray that we hear his inspiration in what he tells us today, what it looks like, the hard work, the side that's for us to pursue that love. Lord, I pray that you would teach us all new, Lord, wherever we're at in this faith journey. Lord, speak to us today. I pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. So if you have your Bible, you can turn to 1 John chapter 2. You'll find it way near the back of your Bible, almost to Revelations. If you hit that, you went a little too far. Although John also wrote that. It's a good book. And in chapter 2 of 1 John, he begins by saying, "My dear children, I am writing this to you so that you will not sin." So right out of the gate, he's saying in chapter 1, we have found the one. We saw him with our own eyes. We've touched him with our own hands. He is the word of life. God is light, and in him there's no darkness. And then he turns in chapter 2, and he says, look out for what could make you go dark. Look out for sin. I don't want you to sin. But if anyone does sin, and this is the hope, we have an advocate. The word there in the Greek is paraclete. It's used 5 times in the New Testament. The first 4, John also wrote. They're in the chapters 14, 15, and 16 of his Gospel of John. And what's awesome is there's so many parallels in those 3 chapters to chapter 2 of 1 John. I often liken 1 John as like the cliff notes of John. So if you don't want to read all of John, you want to get the gist of it, go read 1 John. 5 chapters, you'll catch it. If you want to go a little further with this, go read his other book. Go read John 14, 15, and 16. And in those chapters, he's saying the paraclete is the Holy Spirit. You're going to have this counselor, this person with you to help you. And now John is saying, look, Jesus is in heaven, and he's acting the same. He, too, is an advocate who pleads our case before the Father. He is Jesus Christ, the one who is truly righteous. Romans 8 says that when he was raised to life, he is sitting in the place of honor at God's right hand, pleading for us. And in Hebrews 7, it says, he lives forever to intercede with God on our behalf. This is who we have in heaven, this advocate. He himself is the sacrifice. Big word there, propitiation of our sins. He's the sacrifice. There was this, the wages of sin are death. And he knew that all of humanity was stuck with that. And he said, you know what? I don't like that. I will take the death that we deserve. He took it upon himself. He himself is the sacrifice that atones for our sins. And not only our sins, but the sins of all the world. And if you ask the question, what is love? What does love have to do with it? This is everything. Christ came and died in our place so that we could have the light that he is. To be united with him. And his work isn't done. He sits in heaven. And so John is saying, I don't want you to sin. But if you do, you can turn to him. He understands. And he goes on in verse 3, and we can be sure that we know him if we obey his commandments. If someone claims, I know God, but doesn't obey his commandments, that person is a liar and is not living in the truth. But those who obey God's word truly show how completely they love him. That is how we know we are living in him. Those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did. And so what you see here in 1 John chapter 2 is John is pointing out the things that can separate us. One of the major things that can disconnect, that can cause us to get separated from the light, is sin. The guilt of it, the regret, the shame we feel. But he's also pointing out that the amazing thing is we can turn to him. He's an advocate. He died for us to take all the guilt, the regret, and the shame away. And the way to avoid sin, he points us to and says, is to obey the word and live like Jesus. To obey the word and live like Jesus. Because when we're doing that, we won't sin. If we're going to obey the word, and we want to live like him, he gives us that ability. And this is what John is really getting at in all this. He's saying, fight for your light. He came to give us this light. And now he's saying, that's inspiring. That's awesome what Christ has done. Fight for your light. Don't just sit back and let sin take over. Fight for your light. Obey the word. Try to live like Jesus. That's the first thing. The second thing he says that can disconnect us, he goes into. He says, dear friends, I am now writing not writing a new commandment for you. Rather, it is an old one that you have heard from the beginning. This old commandment, to love one another, is the same message you heard before. It's what Paul said. If you do that, you live the whole law. Jesus said it's the second greatest. Only behind love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And this is awesome. He says, yet it is also new. Jesus lived the truth of this commandment, and you also are living it. For the darkness is disappearing, and the true light is already shining. And he goes on to talk about if you hate your brother and sister in Christ or another human, you're not living in this light. If you say you live in the light, but you hate someone, you're actually living in darkness. And what John is saying is you got to be careful of relational conflict because it can take you out. It can cause you to be disconnected and unplugged. There's so much relational conflict in churches, many people avoid them. It's hypocrisy. You say you live in the light, and we see you live in darkness. You say you love your brother, and you talk about him as if you hate him. Relational light can separate us. And what John's saying is the way to love one another. To forgive. It's not a new commandment. It's old, but it's made new because Jesus actually lived it out. And he's given us that light. He wants us to live this out. This is John saying again, fight for your light. Don't let relational conflict get in the way. Bitterness, unforgiveness. We need to love one another, even if we consider them an enemy. Because we were all enemies of God, and yet he died for us while we were still sinners. We didn't do anything to deserve it. The third thing he goes on in verse 15, he says, do not love this world nor the things in it it offers you. For when you love the world, you do not have the love of the Father in you. For the world offers only a craving for physical pleasure, a craving for everything we see, and pride in our achievements and possessions. These are not from the Father, but from this world. And this world is fading away, along with everything that people crave. But anyone who does what pleases God will live forever. It's so powerful, because John is saying the world is fading away, and everything it offers. And we can get caught up running after the world. That's the third disconnect, the world. And the world is not just a long shot that, oh, well, I hope it makes it. It's not going to make it. It's going down. If you saw a ship with a huge hole in it, would you buy a ticket across the Atlantic with it? No. This last weekend, I took a flight to Boston, and I literally was walking down the tarmac. You know, you can see like a little tiny bit. And I'm looking at every screw. I'm like, is it all there? I don't know what I'm looking at. But if I look out my window, I sit down in my seat, and I see a hole in the wing, you're darn right I'm off that plane. This thing is not going to fly. If you see a company going down, you're not investing stock in it, saying, oh, it'll make it. And everyone's like, this thing is done. This is gone. This company will not exist. And you're like, long shot. Life savings. Think of the payoff. No. John is saying the world is not going to make it. Why would you put yourself there? The counter to that is to let the Father's love fill and lead you. This is what Jesus did all the time. He got away. He prayed. He spent time with the Father alone. He was being filled up. There was a time where they came back and there was a woman at the well. And he says, what are you doing? And he goes, I have food you know nothing about. This is what Jesus did. He lived for the Father. Remember they came and said, how do we pray? And he said, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. He is the only one that lasts. And only those who are with him will last forever in the light. John is saying we need to fill ourselves up with the Father. We need his love, and we need it to lead us to change our perspectives, that the world is not worth dying for. Holding on to, clinging to. You will never regret what you have walked away from, relationships, jobs, careers, whatever you have left for the sake of following Christ. In that day, when you stand before the Father, you will never regret it. And John has that perspective. He's saying you got to fight for your light. And the fourth thing he goes into in the very next verses is he talks about the Antichrist. And he says, yes, there's an Antichrist that is coming, and Revelations talks about it, but he also says there are Antichrists that have already come, many. They were with us, and they walked away from the faith. People who followed Christ and now have turned their backs on him. People who mock Christ, who say it's all a lie, it's a joke, he's not the Messiah. And he says in verse 22, and who is a liar? Anyone who says that Jesus is not the Christ, anyone who denies the Father and the Son is an Antichrist. Anyone who denies the Son doesn't have the Father either, but anyone who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Through the Son, we get the Father. And he says, so you must remain faithful to what you've been taught from the beginning. The beginning is always referring back to the gospel. It's what he's done, that Jesus came, he died, he rose again for us. If you do, you will remain in fellowship with the Son and with the Father, and in his fellowship, we enjoy the eternal life he promised us. You see, God is eternal. They have always existed. They are Alpha, they are Omega. They are eternity. And when we engage and participate and have fellowship with the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, we are engaging with eternity. The experience that will last forever, that will not fade. You can go do so many things in this world. Those experiences will go away. The experience with God will last forever. And he says, I'm writing these things to warn you about these, those who want to lead you astray. But you have received the Holy Spirit, and he lives within you, so you don't need anyone to teach you what is true. Talking about the gospel. For the Spirit teaches you everything you need to know unto salvation. He's saying, you've got it. The Holy Spirit helps faith come alive in us. And what he teaches is true and it is not a lie. So just as he taught, you remain in fellowship with Christ. This last thing that can disconnect us that John's talking about are the naysayers of Christ. Those who we have walked with and now no longer do. That's a hard road. It's hard to see friends who were on fire for Christ who've walked away. It's hard to stand when people are telling you it's a lie. Our culture says that. The world says that. The naysayers of Christ. And what is the counter to this? He says, remain faithful and in fellowship with Jesus. Remain faithful to what you've been taught. And remain in fellowship with Jesus. Great way for that is just being connected to the body of Christ. We're literally connected with him. And what's awesome in this is it's hard to date exactly. Scholars have questions of when this was written. But most believe it was between 85 and 95 AD, which this is 50 or 60 years after Jesus' death, resurrection, where John saw that. So at this point, John is old. He's an old man, and he's seen a lot at this point. And he's pouring out his wisdom. He has seen the devastating effects of sin, relational conflict, the world, the naysayers of Christ, and the devastation it can bring, taking people away from the light, disconnecting followers from the light. And he's saying, you got to fight for your light. Fight for your light. That first list are really things that divide and disconnect us. And when we talk about being a light, what's awesome is that when we come to Christ, we've been created in the image of God. We have a capacity to reflect his glory. But you've got to get connected to Christ. Because when we're connected to Christ, what happens? We have light. It is in us. And when these things come, the sin, the things of the world, the relational conflict, the naysayers, they're all trying to get us to unplug, to disconnect from Christ and to walk away, to let the light go out. Because that's the enemy's realm, is darkness. He hates the light. He doesn't want anyone to live in the light. He knows we were created with this capacity, and he doesn't want us to find it. He doesn't want you to have the fulfillment that lasts forever. And what John is saying is very much like Edison. He's saying, don't give up. Fight for your light. Find the fulfillment. It changes everything. And when we ask, what does love have to do with this? Sometimes it can be discouraging. We have this inspiration that John has said. Now he's telling us to fight for this light and to say, that just seems hard. It seems so difficult. And here's the reality. Here's the beauty. It's that your light is fighting for you. Your light is literally fighting for you. If you go back at the beginning, what did he say? In the beginning of this chapter, he says, I'm writing you. If anyone does sin, we have an advocate who pleads our case for the Father. He is Jesus Christ, who in the chapter before, he said, this is the light. We found him. He's the one. He's truly righteous. He is the sacrifice. He is at the throne of God interceding that our light would stay on, that people would catch on to this. He'd say, Father, you are light. I want them to have this. I want them to know you. He wants us to fight for the light in our life, and he is fighting for your light more than you could ever imagine. I think if we could spend 5 minutes in the presence of God and hear Jesus intercede for us, it would transform our life forever. He fought for us. He came and died for us so that we could have this light. And he's still fighting for us to this day. And a lot of people think this cord runs to the cross and what he did for us, but it doesn't. This cord actually connects with Christ today, who's at the right hand of God. It's a connection to all of eternity. It's a connection to God in his presence. You see, we are plugged into the future. Yes, because of what he did, we can plug in. We can have this light. But we are connecting literally to heaven and all that is to come. The world is fading away and everything with it. And he came that we may have light. Light that literally is the presence of God that comes from him and that we can stay connected to him. My question is, are you fighting for your light? If we can put that slide back up about abiding and connection. Are you abiding and connected to Christ? Do you need to obey the word and live like Jesus? Maybe for the first time. On my way in this morning, I watched an amazing sunrise in my rearview mirror. I actually tried to grab a camera. I was like, it's got a passcode on it. Missed it. Drive around the corner. I think many of us in life, that's what we have. We have kind of a glimpse of God's glory here and there. We try to capture it. But you know what a real response would be? You pull the car over. You get out and you watch the sunrise. Just in awe. And the beauty is that Christ is the Son. He rose from the dead. And instead of catching glimpses of him, maybe your time is now, maybe today, where you say, I'm going to stop. I'm going to turn from driving. I'm going to stand and I'm going to look at my Creator. And I'm going to say thank you for your love and your light. Maybe that step of obeying him is baptism. We have one coming up in 2 weeks. Maybe that was going back to Kickstarter, the step that you said this year is to get baptized. For the love of one another, do you need to forgive someone? Maybe you don't know how to do that. We want to help you. That's what the church is for. Write it in your comment cards. Tell someone. Let us help you learn to forgive. Maybe you need to let the love of the Father lead you to do what pleases God, to literally just sit and soak in his love, repeating that prayer, not out of repetition like you know, but from the insight that this is the Father's love. He is perfect. We want his will in our life because his will lasts forever, unlike this world. Maybe you need to remain faithful to his teaching and remain in fellowship. Maybe you haven't been in the Word in a while and you need to just get back to his teaching. Maybe it's you need to stay in fellowship. And a great way to do that is getting connected with other believers, having a place that you call home to practice faith. Question is, are you fighting for your light? And the hope is that even if you aren't, your light is fighting for you, even today. When I ask, what does love have to do with it? It is everything. He is the light. He came and gave us this light, and he will fight for us to keep it. And I hope you hear John, that we will choose to fight for that light ourselves. Let me pray. Jesus, I thank you for your word. I thank you for John, the apostle you loved, Lord, who understood this concept so well, who heard you teach about it, who in turn passed it on in a late stage of his life. He had to write a letter. He had to get this out, saying we've seen the one and encouraging us to fight for this light, to not give up, Lord, because you are worth it. And what's amazing is that you think we are worth it and that you're fighting for us. Lord, we thank you. In your name, Jesus, amen.